عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. قال تبارك وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا ومولانا محمد عبد الله ورسوله. Respected علماء الكرام, respected elders, brothers and youngsters in Islam. Alhamdulillah, today throughout South Africa there are about 70 to 80 masajid which are speaking on a common theme. Now every few weeks a certain subject is decided upon which is very relevant and pertinent to our situation in this country, and alhamdulillah ulama encouraged to speak on this topic in the various masajids. So alhamdulillah today in many masajid the same topic will be spoken about, and that topic, as you may be already aware, is the importance of Islamic education and our children, our future. Undoubtedly, the health, the spiritual health of a society can be gauged from its youth. There's no doubt about it. Allama Iqbal rahmatullah alayh, many of our akabirin used to quote Allama Iqbal, famous poet of the subcontinent. He said that that nation whose youth are like steel, that nation needs no swords. That nation whose youth are like steel, they firmly rooted, they solid, that nation needs no swords. Just something poetic. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif regarding our children, that and our families, that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you who believe, O you who have brought iman, save yourself and save your families from the fire of hell. And what is the fuel of the fire of hell? It is man. One of them is man himself, the fuel of the fire of hell, and stones. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an instruction that first save yourself, and then save your families from the fire of hell. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. So considering the fact that next week, most schools in South Africa will open, majority of the schools in South Africa will open, it's our new calendar year, academic year. We follow the Gregorian calendar as far as schooling, madrasa, etc. is concerned. Now, if we go to see in our communities, especially post-94, post-democracy, that we have now, many things have opened up in terms of schools, facilities, etc. Many previously, schools which we previously could not attend, now have all opened up. And we see the pros and cons of this as well. So the most important thing is that we have to ground our children in Islamic education. That is really our future and their future as well. Grounding them in correct Islamic aqidah, Islamic education from a very, very young age. Now if we go to see, when does the tarbiyah of a child start? Tarbiyah means the spiritual nurturing, the character building of a child. When does it start? Does it start when the child is already born? Does it start at a certain age? No. It starts even before the child is born. Before the child is even born, before the child's mother is chosen, that's when the tarbiyah of one's child starts. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day a man came to him with his son to complain about his son. His son was disobedient and wretched, etc. So he complained about his son. So Umar radiallahu anhu spoke to the son and questioned him. He says, you can't blame me for the way that I am. You can't blame me. Blame my father. Look at the type of mother he chose for me. The type of mother he chose for me wasn't a good mother. Then he says, look at the name he gave me also, which means a dung beetle. The name he gave me also, it has an effect on the child as well. And the fact that there was nobody to make my tarbiyah, etc. So why are you blaming me? Blame my father rather. So Umar radiallahu anhu admonished the father that you are more to blame than your son is to blame. Your child is a result of your choices. So the type of mother that one chooses for one's child has a tremendous effect on the type of children one will have. And it doesn't only stop there. It's what goes on from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a beautiful deen, such an all-encompassing deen, that nothing is left out in our deen. From inception to termination of human life. So much so that when a man is even enjoying relationship with his wife, what Allah ta'ala has made halal, and at the time, that time also he takes the name of Allah. Even at that time he takes the name of Allah so that this child will be mahfuz. He'll be protected from shaitan and all harm. So that it starts from there as well. If we go further, it's there as well that the name of the child has been taken. Name of Allah Ta'ala has been taken before conception of a child as well. And from that, and then not only that, but in the entire duration of the mother's pregnancy, etc. What the child has been fed, what the mother consumes has a direct effect on the child. Because the nourishment of the child is dependent on the nourishment of the mother. So eating halal and tayyab food. Ya ayyuhar rusul kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salihah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling his messengers that eat wholesome food and do good deeds. A'mal salihah. A direct correlationship between halal tayyib food and good deeds. So the type of food we eat, we consume, has an effect on the child as well. Some ulama have mentioned that even the thoughts of the mother at that time. We see many, many people, many great luminaries. If we just go back into their lives, we'll see that those mothers took care of the pregnancy of those children as well. In terms of their actions in pregnancy, guarding themselves in pregnancy, etc. Some of them recited so much Quran Sharif that many children, like Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, so many of them, when those children were born, they were very acclimatized to the Quran and Majid. So that is our responsibility. And then when the child is born, there are so many responsibilities. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, among the responsibilities that a father has over his children, the rights that the child has over the father, one of them is give the child a good name. فَلْيُحْسِنْ إِسْمَهُ. Give him a good name. Today we want to choose the most unusual names, the most exotic names, so to say. But let us go back to the names. The greatest names are the names of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. There can be no better names than the names of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And we take it one step further. The Sahaba ikiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Take in the Sahabiyat. Use their names. Can there be any better names than those illustrious individuals of and those great sons and daughters of Islam? So look at their names, and names have a profound effect on children. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that teach the child adab. What is adab? Adab is just not mannerisms only. Adab is a very all-encompassing word. Give the child Islamic education. Give the child character. Teach the child character. Nurture the child in every respect of his life. If we look in the lives of our senior predecessors, then we'll notice one common denominator, largely among them. We spoke on this same platform not very long ago about Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah. What was the force behind that great luminary? It was that very pious mother who, when the child, every time he got up in the night, he can hear his mother reading tahajjud salat. It was a very pious mother. If you look at Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi, Sheikhul Hadith, It's a household name in our country, especially the last Ramadan of this luminary was conducted in our country in Stanger. Then if we go to look at his biography, Aunt Betty, and it's translated in English, we need to read, if we are parents, we need to read this biography to understand how the nurturing of the parents produced a Muhammad Zakaria, how it produced that. So we very often will see the efforts of the parents do not go wasted. Illa mashaAllah. Sometimes the parents make every effort in the tarbiyah of their children, and who better than the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite their fulfilling their responsibilities and duties, Allah doesn't want to give hidayat sometimes. The son of Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. Can we find better people than the Anbiya and the messengers of Allah? No. They are the best of human beings. But sometimes, despite all their efforts, Allah doesn't give their children hidayat. So we have to do what's in our capacity. We'll only be questioned about what's within our capacity and capabilities. The rest we have to leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed, your children sometimes and your wealth is a test from Allah. It's a fitnah. It's a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Children are supposed to be a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, where He equates the ni'mat of children as a gift. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that some people He gives them daughters. Some people He gives them sons. Some people He gives them both sons and daughters. And some people He gives them no children. This is a prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That children are equated as a gift. And sometimes it's within our best interest if we do not have children. Because this is in the wisdom and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were Anbiya alayhimu salam with no children. So many great awliya Allah, they had no children. Maulana Abul Hasan al-Nadwi, speaking about him again, he had no children. But Allah took such work from them in their lives. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, Hakimul Ummah, Rahimahullah, another household name as far as our education is concerned. The great saint, sage of the age of the Indo-Pak, Allah didn't bless him with any children. Perhaps because Allah took so much of work from them in that lifetime that they had. And had they had children, we do not know, maybe they couldn't have accomplished what they did accomplish. So, children are a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how often we see parents, how they desire children. This is a natural desire of a human being. That the first thing after marriage, that the parents, what do they desire? Children. Because it's a ni'mat of Allah. Allah says it is a ni'mat, it is a gift. So any gift that we have, it comes with a responsibility. Any ni'mat, any bounty we have, it is an amanat. And we have to fulfill that amanat. So coming back to what I was saying initially, that schools are now commencing. Alhamdulillah, in our country we have many Muslim schools. There's no such thing as an Islamic school. It is a Muslim school. Where people go, Muslims mainly attend, that school is a Muslim school. So we have approximately 80-90 Muslim schools in our country today. It's an accomplishment, alhamdulillah. And no matter how good a non-Muslim school, if we can use that term, it will never equate a Muslim school. And the reason for that is, despite all the flaws and weaknesses that our institutions may have, there is so often the only salah a child reads is the Zuhr salah that he reads in the Muslim school. The child has no salah in his whole life. There is no salah in the home. There is no salah in the home. The only salah that the child will read is the Dhuhr salah in the Muslim school. So Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patiyab Rahmatullah Alayhi used to always encourage that no matter how bad the Muslim school may be, whatever its fault, it's still better than a non-Muslim school. And another thing he advocated, that no matter how bad a Muslim teacher may be in terms of his ability, he's still better than the best non-Muslim teacher. Because he's got iman. He's got the ni'mat and the nur of iman in him. So while academically he may not be the best or as far as his capabilities, but he's got the nur of iman. So our schools are starting next week nationally. So it is so important that we consider the Islamic education of our children. It's not a hit and run thing. Children are not like animals that they can just grow up on a poultry farm or on a farm. No, children have to be nurtured independently, individually. The Islamic education is paramount. If we do not give them the right Islamic education, the right aqidah, the right foundation, we will only cry and suffer later on. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, time is up. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a man passes away, then all his good deeds come to an end. Illa thalath. All his good deeds except three. What are those three things? Sadaqatun, jariyatun. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the first is sadaqa jariyah. He built a masjid. He dug a borehole. With some sadaqa jariyah he has done. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, or some knowledge which he passed on, and that knowledge which people are benefiting from. Some knowledge he disseminated. And the third thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُوا لَهُ, that a pious child, son or daughter who makes dua for the parents. That way a person's good deeds will still perpetuate. But how are we going to produce pious offspring and pious children if we do not put the right ingredients in the mixture of bringing them up? So we need to nurture our children. We need to take a strong interest in the education of our children, and especially that golden institution called the maktab, the afternoon madrasa, as we refer to it in our country. Do not neglect this institution. This institution has been proven from time immemorial, from the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who laid certain guidelines in terms of this kind of education, maktab or madrasa education. So even if we are sending our children to a Muslim school, it's not sufficient. It is not sufficient. We need to send them to an afternoon madrasa. And generally we stop their education in grade 7 or standard 5. But that education needs to continue into high school. That's the most important time, the high school years. So while the foundation is being properly laid, when they come to a certain age, now we want to cut it off. We want to cut the roots off. We cannot do that. We need to continue this education. And alhamdulillah, there are facilities available for us, where there are Saturday classes for our children, etc. At the Jamiat offices in Alpine Road, many, many children who even attend Muslim schools and non-Muslim schools, they attend the madrasa for high schoolers. And like that, various other masajid, etc. have facilities. So let us take this seriously. Let us take the akhirah seriously. Let us take their future, everlasting future seriously. This dunya, yes, we very and we should be concerned about it. Mufti Rafi Usmani, just reading his article a few days ago, he mentioned how important secular education also, he stressed the importance of secular education for Muslims in terms of having our own specialists in every field. There's no dichotomy in Islam regarding seeking education. We need the best of everything. We need the best of people in sciences, in the medical field, in every sphere of life. We need the best Muslims. We need to produce the best Muslims, and the best specialists in everything should be a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time is up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me and each and every one of us tawfiq wa akhiru ta'amana, and alhamdulillah.